What is up, guys? My name's Elijah Kim, and this is From the Heart. So we are a community that strives to create empathy through awareness, awareness into different people's lives. Everyone has different backgrounds, struggles, experiences that has molded them and created them into who they are today. Today, I have a special guest by the name of Paul Kim. He is the founder of Operation Dichotomy. He recently became a father. His child is how many months old?
Four months.
Just reached month, mm-hmm. 4 months? Right, 4 months. He's been training for a half marathon that's supposed to be located in Santa Cruz. Unfortunately, it's been postponed until September. He is also an ex-pastor. But yes, this is Paul Kim. Do you have any other things that you want to mention about yourself before we get started?
No, I think kind of covered it. You said half marathon. It's a half Ironman.
Half Ironman. I apologize.
A little bit different.
It's okay. A big difference. What do you mean? Okay. Anyways. So the topic that I asked Paul what he wanted to talk about, and he said that his greatest struggle was within his marriage, but probably not so in the ideas that you guys may think. But I guess, Paul, would you mind explaining a little bit about that struggle that you had?
Yeah. How much detail do you want?
As detailed as you want. It doesn't really matter to me.
All right. It's a long story. I warned you. Feel free to stop me anytime.
No problem.
The struggle itself was not in marriage per se. It was more the struggle to get married. I guess I want to not give you too much detail, but my wife and I, we dated long distance for a while. We met through mutual connection when I lived in Boston and she was in Virginia going to med school. So the relationship started long distance. Shortly into our relationship, we found out that, again, long story short, her parents basically didn't want her to marry me. At the time, I was a pastor, so we thought that might be a part of it. Like, they wanted her to marry, you know, classic Asian family, right? They want to give their daughter away to a rich, rich and noble doctor or businessman or engineer or someone with a stable career, because they want their daughter to be taken care of. Mm. Yeah, for sure, man, because they love their daughter. And from most people's perspective, which is pretty true, you know, pastors aren't exactly the most lucrative career paths, or being a pastor is a lucrative career path. And if you go into the Korean culture, it's even worse, right? The Korean church pastor's wife is usually the one that bears a lot of burden. And it's not really, it's just not an easy life. And if I were a parent, I'm not sure I'll want that for my daughter as well.
How would that be difficult for the wife? Just curious about that.
Yeah. So in American culture, usually the pastor's wife is just the wife of a husband who happens to be a pastor. Uh-huh. In a Korean church context, the pastor's wife is very much a role in itself. And they take on so much more burden, sometimes more burden than the pastor himself. And again, it's like a cultural thing, for better or for worse. It's not a great cultural thing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Again, I just wouldn't want that burden to be upon her if she didn't want to have it. And that's kind of where they were coming from, along with some other drama behind that. But basically, the point of what I'm saying is that they didn't want her to marry me. And it was to the point where basically they told her that if you get married to him, who is me, then we're going to disown you from the family.
Wow.
Now, there's parents who say things like that just to scare their kids. And then there's parents that say things like that and actually have
capacity.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And like, I think the difference is that some people have the capacity to act on it because they are such strong people. Mm-hmm. And my wife's parents, especially her dad, is a very strong human being in general. And so when he says something, he actually means it. So he makes a decision. Generally, he's pretty stubborn about it. He's thought through it. So it meant a lot to her that he would say something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, her being the oldest of three, she was always the quote unquote obedient one. She was the one that had a great relationship with her parents, still does. It was very hard for her to hear that from her parents. Her parents had a huge influence in her life. What they said made a difference to her. So when they said that to her and we didn't approve, it basically came down to a choice between her parents and me, right? So at this point, she was what, like 26, 27? It was a losing battle, let's call it that.
Wow, yeah, that's a tough decision.
Yeah, I mean, there was no decision there, right? She had her parents for 27, 28 years, loving relationship. I'm this new guy that comes into her life who's maybe known her for a year. It's easy to give me up, I would assume. And that's kind of where we were at. Mm-hmm. And who could blame her? Mm-hmm. I guess long story short, I keep saying that, but I keep going longer. So sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Don't worry about it.
We dated long distance for the 4 years in her med school and then 1 year of her residency, all long distance. And then it was during that time where her parents were super against our relationship. They were against basically me as a person, not because of who I was per se, but because they didn't want the relationship. Yeah, man, like long distance, parents being against everything. It seemed like nothing was really working in my favor. There came a point about 3 years, I think it was our third year in dating, where she couldn't take it anymore. So she was also trying to break up with me. And so by that time, it's like, man, parents don't want me in the picture. Logistically, it's so hard because we are 13-hour drive away, I believe. We're both broke, so we couldn't fly as often as we'd like. Maybe see each other once a month at most. Mm-hmm. When it was bad, we see each other once every 3 months. So it's not like we had a great connection there. And then on top of that, now she's trying to break up with me. So by this point, honestly, I don't know what it was that drove me to continue to pursue this woman and this relationship, but something just made me not want to give up. And so I kept fighting for it. I kept fighting for her. There's no real rationale behind it. If you ask me why, I mean, the right answer is, oh, because she's worth it. Which she was.
Yeah, but it's like the generic answer.
Yeah, but it's just weird, man, because I've never been like that before, where I kind of had the mentality of, oh, if this door is closing, it must not be for me. But I guess with her, it was different. Wouldn't take no for an answer, kept fighting. Fast forward to today, we ended up getting married, and it's like the whole saga never happened. Like, I'm close to their parents, mom loves me. It's kind of weird, man. It's all a little bit surreal, but that was definitely one of the biggest struggles of my life, like fighting for that marriage, fighting for that relationship, and fighting for my wife. Mm-hmm.
So then I guess now that you're an entrepreneur, has that perspective changed in her parents? Because I wouldn't assume that. I mean, I'm not really sure. I don't know how entrepreneurs are viewed in the Korean sense and Korean culture, but did their perspective change when you decided that you were going to go on your own entrepreneurial path as well?
I'm not sure. I don't think my career path or what I decided to do or what I continue to decide to do in terms of my life and career path is really influential in the way that they view me now. It's definitely more about how I treat their daughter. Like, do I love their daughter? Do I take care of her? Do they feel secure that I am her husband, as opposed to feeling anxious because he's going to do something stupid? So I feel like, let's say if I were to go back to ministry tomorrow, I really don't think that will make that big of a difference in their perspective.
Because at this point, like, you've won their trust.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. So I guess backtracking, like, I'd like to ask for a little more detail. Like, I guess with all the odds, like, stacked up against you, like, how long was that whole time period where you were struggling and you, like, continue to fight, to preserve that relationship with your girlfriend at the time, now wife, but because obviously there's more context to that, and you can go as detailed as you want.
Okay. So you're asking about time frame, like how long?
Yeah.
So this started pretty soon into early on in our relationship, until I proposed, and that was about 5 years, almost 4 or 5 years.
And then how exactly did you win over her parents' trust? Because I actually know of a friend who's kind of going through that same situation. I'm not going to name him, but his girlfriend's parents are disapproving of him, more so specifically because he is Korean. But I think the reason why, especially her dad, doesn't like him is because her dad actually had a bad experience in the past with a Korean person, and that's kind of what stemmed in his head up until this point. So I mean, like you said, if you were to go back into ministry, you don't think that her parents would be against you for doing so. So then do you think there was some more underlying reasons why they didn't like you at that time?
Probably. I think it's kind of a fine balance, because no parent will think that anybody is good enough for their child. And I think that's normal. And if that wasn't the case, I would kind of wonder about who I'm marrying and their parents, right?
Right.
I have a daughter now, she's 4 months, but whenever she brings home a guy, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm so happy to meet you. I'm so glad that, you decided to marry my daughter, right? I'm going to be sitting there with a shotgun, be like, who are you? And why should I let you marry my daughter, right? Mm-hmm. So that, I feel like, is very normal, and I totally respect that. Mm-hmm. And so I think from my own perspective, until that point, I felt like I lived sort of an easy life where I was well-respected in the church. The Korean adults, or the older people within the Korean church, they always looked at me as someone who was, respectable, right? They liked me. Uh-huh. And they're always asking me when I was single, we know this person, she's my daughter or my niece or whoever. So maybe you can meet her and blah, 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 right? They're trying to set me up all the time. And so I came from this perspective of being highly respected and sort of sought after. Mm-hmm. That sounds really prideful, but that was just how it was in that position, right? Pastors get put on a pedestal. To this place where now it's like, well, dude, who the hell are you? Why should I let you talk to my daughter? So that was a real blow to my pride. I didn't realize at the time, but I think looking back, it was a blow to my pride. The reason why I say it was a fine balance is because you have to be able to objectively listen to the criticism and the reasoning behind what they're saying and ask yourself, is it really true? Like, am I actually worthy, quote unquote, worthy of marrying this person? Am I as awesome as I think I am, or am I just full of crap and no one has ever told me before? And so for me, that was one of those humbling moments where I had to sit back and wonder, is there some merit to what he's saying, and evaluate myself aside from the fact that he's just criticizing me. But then over the years, I felt like I tried to do everything correctly. And what I mean by that is, all right, so if I step back, right, through that process, the parents weren't as nice to me as they could have been because they didn't want me in the picture. So right. That makes sense. Uh-huh. I think a natural response would have been to be like, dude, what the heck? I can't believe I have to go through this, kind of lash out, talk bad about them, treat them poorly. Mm-hmm. But it's very important during those times when you're being quote unquote mistreated to treat them extra well, mm-hmm. right? To be, don't make any mistakes that you're going to regret later, long right, story right. short. So that was a big part of the process. And I think you asked me how I won them over, or did
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
So honestly, dude, like I never actually won them over in the sense of, oh, they like me now. Now that I got their permission to get married, we're going to go ahead and get married. It was my wife and I dated for about 5 years.
Yeah, you guys dated for a while too.
Yeah. And the reason we dated for so long was because of long distance, but then also because we really wanted to get their approval before getting married.
Right, right.
Family was important.
Right.
And the alternative might have been that they would disown their daughter and then their relationship would be broken, which we didn't want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think over the course of those 5 years, I tried to do everything possible in my power to reconcile that relationship. I tried meeting with her dad, having a conversation about just understanding why they didn't want me in the picture. I wrote a letter to her mom and my friend translated it into better Korean because my Korean was not that great at the time.
Uh-huh.
And so like, I think I can honestly look back and say I tried everything I could in the most respectable way possible to earn their favor. And I'll go as far as to say I may have deserved it by that point in terms of the effort that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And there came a point 5 years later where they still weren't approving. We did everything. And at the end of the day, that's why we weren't getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came to this decision that, you know what, let's just get married. Like we want to get married.
Regardless of what her parents thought, like you guys were became adamant on getting married.
Yeah. And this was huge for my wife because really it was on her.
Yeah, of course.
It was a painstaking decision for her to make where am I going to be okay with a broken relationship with my parents if I marry this guy? And long story short, she said she could do it. And it's like, okay. But I guess the difficulty there was trying to get her to tell her parents that.
Yeah, that's never definitely not like a light topic.
Yeah.
So she
stalled a couple of times. But in that process, what I had realized was the reason why they're fighting so hard, her parents are fighting so hard against me, is because they still have a chance to get me out of the picture because we're not tied together yet in marriage.
Mm.
That's how it works, right? The closer you are to a finish line, someone doesn't want you there, they're gonna fight harder.
Mm.
So I realized that I couldn't give them that option anymore. So I just said, screw it, and I proposed. It was a total surprise to my wife because she hadn't talked to her parents yet. And you know how like when people generally propose, they usually know that the woman is going to say yes or whoever the spouse is going to say yes. Yeah. So there's not a big surprise there. So when I proposed, there was literally a 50-50 shot of me being rejected.
Rejected.
Yeah. But really, dude, I couldn't wait anymore.
Right.
And by leaving it open-ended, I think that's what was giving them sort of the permission to keep on fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
But the kicker here was that my wife had to say yes. Mm-hmm. And that was the scary part because I didn't know if she would.
Yeah, yeah. So then you must have been extremely like anxious during that time when you proposed.
Yeah, man. It was very, very, very anxiety-provoking situation.
Right.
She actually said no at first.
Yeah.
I was sitting there on one knee trying to convince her to change her mind.
Oh my god. She's like,
no.
Yeah, because that's an extremely tough decision for her too. But
oh yeah.
Literally like your guys' future all depended on that one question at the time. Luckily, like even though she said no, like you guys are now married. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, so then like after that moment, like how were you able to convince her to saying yes?
Well, she says that I had this whole trip planned where we were going to just go up to Montreal, Canada for our dating anniversary. It's supposed to be just a vacation. found this random photographer on Craigslist and hired him to take pictures of the proposal. And she told me later that the photographer wasn't there taking pictures, then she would have said no and stuck with that answer. But because of the pictures, the photographer, yeah, she thought she would regret saying no and keeping that answer, so she changed her mind. So thank God. Chris Mancini, I think. Somehow, if you hear this podcast, thank you.
Damn, that's crazy. So then after that, it must have been extremely nerve-wracking for her to bring the news to her parents. So, like, I mean, I don't know if you can fully explain that experience that she had, but, like, I'm sure it's not an easy one to, like, talk about, especially when her parents were so antagonistic towards you.
Yeah, so she actually had to keep it a secret from them for a little while. Uh-huh. Because she wasn't ready for the backlash.
Right.
She was still in school. She was getting ready for residency, and It just would have caused a lot of drama. So that was interesting too, where we had this proposal. There was like four or five people that knew at the time because
you guys wanted to keep it small.
Yeah, just she couldn't risk the parents finding out in the wrong way.
Because it's even worse to find out like through someone else, like.
Yeah, and so that kind of brings us to so that was November. In April of the next year, so about 5 months later, she finally told her mom. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about getting married. It was like, hey, I'm going to get married.
Yeah, like no choice. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so, man, I remember at first, her mom was pissed. Mm-hmm. Understandably so. I would be pissed too.
Yeah.
But I think, again, this is kind of where it's like, man, did that even happen? Because in April, she told her mom that she was going to get married. There was a good couple of weeks where drama ensued, and there was just like a lot of conflict, a lot of bad feelings, just call it bad feelings. Uh-huh. And then I feel like just a couple of weeks later, all of a sudden, her mom was offering to help us to pay for the wedding. Buy us furniture for when we move in together. It was just like and I met them for the first time on good terms in that July. So that was weird too, man.
Yeah, that probably would have been some game changer for you to experience or I guess talk to her parents in a different light.
Right? Yeah. All of a sudden everything is friendly and talking about becoming family. It was weird, man. You're making me relive this. It's crazy.
You think it was that change came about because, like you said, like you didn't give them the decision, so they just had to over time accept the idea that like the future was gonna happen, you know, you guys getting married and it was gonna be inevitable.
Yeah.
Or did you ever ask them about that?
No, I just kind of assumed. But basically, until that point, like I said, they were holding tight to that one option, which is we're not going to let him in and we're going to fight against it no matter what. Mm-hmm. When I proposed and she said yes and she told her mom that she's going to get married, all of a sudden the scripts became, we're going to get married. Now the decision is really on you. I'm sorry to put you in a situation, but because we're getting married, now it's up to you where you're really going to disown me or going to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it? Right.
Burning a bridge in order to,
right.
For whatever reason, or, you know, accept the fact that you guys are going to get married.
Mm-hmm. So I put the ball in their court, essentially. Mm-hmm. Luckily for us, it worked out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if it didn't work out, I think we probably don't understand the full scope of what the consequences would have been like, but we were ready to be like, okay, if this happens, then it happens, but let's still move forward. Mm-hmm.
So then I'm just thinking about that whole situation. That's like, it's giving me anxiety just thinking about it.
Dude, but there's all kinds of stories I could tell you.
Right. Oh my God. I can't imagine. Thank God I'm not in that position, but that must have been really tough, especially like your wife not being able to determine the, I guess, the outcome of what her parents' decisions were going to be at that time after breaking the news to them too. But looks like everything worked out in the end. And it's kind of crazy to kind of see that, I guess, it the non-conventional way of you know, the whole situation. Then again, this is your story, but I guess in my mind, like, usually people would give up, you know, or like, you know, stop at some point to fight for the marriage to actually happen, because there wasn't just one obstacle in your guys's path, but there were, like, you know, several things that you guys had to overcome. But like, props to you guys, like, super happy that you guys are together now. But yeah, I can't imagine, like, the struggle and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. I guess, because it just seems so surreal that the fact that, because they were so adamant towards you guys, you know, coming together, that I don't know the span of time that they sort of had that change of heart, but they basically made a 180 from the way you're describing it. So it's like, I'd be interested to kind of hear out, like, their kind of perspective on how they kind of made that change and being more accepting of you. But again, did you ever discuss with them, like, their thought process during that time, like, what made them finally change their mind?
No, not directly with them. I may at some point in the future, but if I were to ask my wife a lot about what her parents thought and what happened, I think both for me as well as them, it was really just, you make a decision of what you want, and then you figure it out as you go. Where, I mean, I don't know what triggered it, but pretty much, like, for some reason, I decided I wanted to marry this woman no matter what. Almost irrationally, now that I think about it. I mean, like, she's great. Like, don't get me wrong.
No, of course. Circumstances, but that's what emotion does. Like, sometimes it can be a huge driving force in your commitment to something. And, like, it seems like this is, like, a clear sign of that, you know?
Yeah. So for me, it was that, make a decision and figure it out as you go. I feel like her parents were kind of the same way, where, okay, my daughter is getting married, and obviously we have the choice to either figure it out and make it work, or we're going to separate and just be distant. And I feel like, you know, they just made the decision of, you know what, we're gonna support our daughter, and we're gonna support the decision that she makes. We're gonna trust her. It's probably going to be a little awkward at first, given the last 4 or 5 years of what happened. But let's figure it out. So I think that was it. It was definitely a process for them, I think, where you could feel the awkwardness and the tension in the beginning when everything switched. Mm-hmm. But right now it's super comfortable, but it was a process to get there. It was a lot of, you know, just what normal people do, spending time together, having conversation about other stuff and building that relationship. But they never would have gotten to that point if they hadn't decided in that moment to be like, hey, we're going to go this way. We don't know how we're going to do it and how awkward it's going to be, but let's just figure it out as we go.
Okay. I guess that seems like everything on my list of what I'd like to ask about that. It seems like you did a great job of, like, explaining the whole situation. But again, like, it's crazy to see how your whole journey and that, you know, it created you and made you realize, like, how much you were willing to actually fight for something from what it seems like you said the first time in your life. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
yeah, pretty much. That was definitely, that's definitely the hardest I fought for anything. I think that was the turning point of that mentality where you make a decision and then you go for it. I grew up, this is kind of a stereotype of some church communities, let's just call it, and I don't want to overgeneralize, but I grew up in an environment where if something didn't happen for you, then it must not be, quote unquote, the will of God. Well, God doesn't want it for you. It's not in the cards for you. You know, you say it however you want. But this was the first time, again, where it wasn't happening. So the old attitude would have been like, oh, I guess it's not meant for me. I'll just move on. You know, I tried, whatever. But again, something flipped. Maybe it was because it was a girl. I don't know. But, you know, I wanted her. And as difficult as it was, I didn't make that decision to be like, hey, I guess this isn't for me. Instead, it was, no, I want this. I'm going to figure out how the hell to get it. I'm going to get it. And I think because I was able to go through that one time, it sort of opened up the possibility of
like that what same, other thing, that same mindset, right?
Exactly. The same process in other contexts, right? Like this was for marriage and a woman. What about business? What about physical fitness? Like half Ironman, man, I never would have even run a 5K 2 years ago. But all of a sudden, I guess it wasn't all of a sudden, right? It was a process, but here I am talking about trying to do this stupid half Ironman. I don't know why.
Is there any driving goal behind you wanting to do the half Ironman?
Well, I was listening to a couple of podcasts a couple of years ago. One of them was about Charlie Jablay. Do you know Charlie?
I'm not recalling, no.
It's okay. He's an interesting guy. Let's just leave it at that for now. Huh. But he, on that specific podcast, was talking about how he went from being like 200-300 pounds overweight to completing an Ironman in 12 months. It's like, shoot, this is a full Ironman. Literally the next day or two, I heard the podcast with James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy.
Right.
I think he was on the Order of Man. But he was talking about how we did 50 Ironman races in 50 consecutive days in 50 consecutive states. Uh-huh. So at that moment, I was like, dude, if this guy can go from 300 pounds to Ironman a year, and this other crazy dude can do 50 and 50 and 50, then I can do one by the time I'm 40. I think I was like 33 or 32 at the time. And so, again, making decisions. I'm going to do an Ironman before I'm 40. And right now, it's just the process of trying to get there. That was it, man. It's not like some crazy inspirational story.
But regardless, you were able to apply that sort of mindset of, you're willing to fight, the fight and go against all odds to make it happen. So that's really admirable of you. And I think in today's society, that's extremely important to have too. But I think this should be the conclusion of the episode. I guess I've run out of questions to ask you about, about your whole struggle with your own marriage, not specifically with the marriage itself, but the process of getting married. But with that being said, is there any piece of advice that you would give to the audience? And yeah.
About struggle or about anything?
Just, I guess about this experience, your struggle specifically. Like what is your one take on or one little blurb of advice that you'd give out of that experience?
So I was thinking about earlier when you were talking about your friend who is struggling because his girlfriend's parents don't like him because he's Korean. And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about in terms of the balance of knowing who you are knowing who you are and also being able to critique yourself. Because we're going to hear critique, we're going to hear criticism, we're going to hear straight up haters saying stupid stuff, trolling on us all throughout our lives. And I think our natural reaction oftentimes is to just reject it. We are ignored by it. Like, who are you to call me this and say this about me? You don't know what you're talking about. I am the perfect guy for your daughter. You don't know crap, right?
Right.
But my advice for anybody, for that guy, for me moving forward too, is whenever anybody criticizes you or says something quote unquote negative about you, I feel like we have to be able to step back and actually evaluate ourselves. Like, is that actually true? And is that why it's offending me? Or is it completely off base, which means I can just ignore it and move on with life? Once we're able to learn that ability, then I think it's going to be much easier for us to move forward in life, going after the things that we want, and also not being too stressed out about things in the process.
I think that's a great word of advice. I guess to conclude it, is there any way like people can reach out to you if they have any questions about, I guess, your whole process, your whole mindset, your brand that you're building?
Yeah. Yeah, you can reach out on Instagram, I guess is the easiest, @_p.kim, K-I-M. Our brand is @operation.academy. You can ask me about church, Christianity, business, getting married, whatever you want.
But yeah, you guys definitely should give him a follow. He's making tremendous strides in his own podcast and his own brand. Great message. With the idea that life isn't just black and white. It's a whole spectrum of different colors and different arrays of perspectives and ideas. So I would highly suggest you guys listen to it if you guys are interested. I wanted to humbly thank you, Paul, for coming onto the podcast. Thank you so much for giving the insight and wisdom that you have to not just me, but also the audience, and just being able to share your own experience and being open about that, being vulnerable to us as well. And I just wanted to thank you for coming on.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, of course, of course. But yeah. Okay, guys, this basically concludes the episode, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.